Okay. All right. So welcome to the use case realization call for September 20, 2021. Today, we're going to be talking about the SON use case, some of its history, its development, and then some discussion on moving forward with it as well, and some Q&A. So some people may be new as well and may not be too familiar with the SON use case, the SON OFPCI use case, and where it's been, or maybe some of its recent developments in the past couple of releases. Next time, on our next meeting on October 4th, we'll have a meeting for the Configuration Persistency Service of a demo on that. They were at a point where they were giving a demo on their last Friday call, and so they're also planning to demo here at the use case realization call. So it would be a good time for you to learn about that use case and also see kind of the progress they've made recently with that use case. And then our once a month 5G discussions will be the meeting after that. So without further ado, I see some people are also joining. Did you want to share, Shankar? Or
yes. Was somebody? Yeah. screen. Host has disabled.
Oh, sorry. shoot. Okay. All right. You should be able to share now.
Can you see my PowerPoint?
It's starting to come up. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Actually, now I see it.
Yeah. Green box around. Okay. I'm actually going to reuse some slides from presented about 4 weeks back, and I'll just focus on, I make some updates. We'll focus on the key areas where we would like some discussion going. And
maybe you want to go into presentation mode. That might help.
I won't be able to see the
unless you need to jump around or something.
Yeah. I can make it as
that's
does
fine.
That help?
That's fine.
I can, okay. Yeah. Because when I tried it, sometimes it's funny with two monitors. But this way I can keep, okay. This is good?
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, okay. So so I had actually, I'm glad many of the key people are here. Ahila, thanks. I don't know what happened with this slicing call. Is it still going on today or?
No, it's done already.
Okay, you finished. Okay. Yeah. So do you know if Saravanan might also join?
I'm not sure, but we can go ahead. I can convey that.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm glad you're here. So because one of the things, and I'd also reached out to John Keeney, and I'm hoping he'll also join. And I mean, Krishna is here. Krishna and I talked about this, and glad to see Ben, Timo, many people are joining. So what I'll do is I'll first cover a little bit, like Ben said, a little bit of the history of the SON use case. And then what I want to try to convey is we are at a very important juncture in the SON use case and how we expand it. And at the same time, how we align with, so there's some larger discussions happening with ONAP and ORAN and ORAN OFC alignment and how we use the A1 interface for policy-based guidance to anything in the near real-time rig. And then there are some things in the SON use case, I think we have a pretty strong notion that we want to use both O1 and A1. And a lot of this we also coordinate with a slicing use case. At least in my view, this SON use case and the slicing use case have among all the use cases in ONAP, they have a little bit of an end-to-end functionality. They bring in many aspects about data is coming in, what do you do with the data? And so we think a little bit over not just the interface, but maybe a flow beyond that. The SON use case tends to be focused on more of a control loop kind of interaction. And this has been going on since Casablanca. So for people who are probably not fully connected to this. So it's a while back, by the way, it was called OOF PCI, and then we have migrated beyond just PCI. It's PCI and the centralized ANR use cases. And yes, we do use OOF as the optimization framework to embody the optimization, so it is OOF SON. A very broad introduction. I'm N.K. Shankar. A lot of this work was done when I was with AT&T, and I'm now with STL. And there are many companies involved in this. There is more also happening from the ORAN side and I'll talk more about it, about how it's coming into, if you're familiar with ORAN, the whole notion of how ONAP is used for the non-real-time RIC, or parts of use of ONAP are used for the non-real-time RIC and the SMO. So all these things, this is a time when multiple discussion threads are coming together. Very high level, ONAP based on the, for several releases, we had a focus on the ORAN O1 interface, which is basically NetConfiang on the control side from STNC, STNR to the ORAN network. And the same O1 interface has data coming back primarily as WES streaming or WES FM events, fault management, PM KPIs, and CM config management notifications. And so we have adopted that approach. And this picture is old, and I'll show you a modified version, but in a way, keep that in mind. This has always been a control loop. Data comes from the RAN, gets analyzed, and then your control action goes out. And alignment is a big theme in this. Roadmap, we are now in Istanbul, and for a couple of releases, a lot of the discussion was around how we are best aligned with ORAN. And the other big theme, and you'll see in Honolulu, we first had a database. If you're doing a use case and you're changing configuration, you need a database. And so first we did our own database called ConfigDB, and now we're committed to and adopters of the CPSDB. This has gone on a few releases, but just bringing you up to speed if you were not part of that discussion. And so a lot is involved there if you want this align. Basically, in a nutshell, if you want the ONAP work and the optimization and the intelligence to be aligned with ORAN, that means now there is consensus and already a lot of work done, which is, so the data models you use for the databases are the same Yang models that you use for O1. So if you're doing configuration over O1, your database and schema are also driven off that same Yang model. And so you can see that theme about not only just the interfaces, O1, but also the data model used for the database. And in this discussion, what we're going to do now is now actually expanding to the A1 part of it. this is the picture. Again, it's a control loop broadly.
Oh, wait, just a quick question. Shankar, on that previous slide, wasn't there also in the previous release, you were working on some machine learning enhancements? Did that happen?
Yes, they did. Oh. That was here.
Oh, in R7. Okay, I see. Yeah, I was looking at R8.
And there it's actually captured here.
I see. Okay.
Very good. Very thanks, Ben. It's a very important point. I should have mentioned it. So this is again a sort of, when I look at it, I see a control loop. On the left is ONAP, on the right side is the RAN. And even though we are aligned with ORAN interfaces, we don't look at ORAN architecture. It's an ONAP control loop. In this picture, we don't think about the non-real-time RIC or the SMO. We have ONAP components. We have intelligence and analysis riding on the DCA platform. So we have microservices. The SON handler microservices is a key part that's basically processing a lot of data coming in and out and sort of handling all the data. That's why the name came about. And the optimization is done in OOF. There is a database in PCIe, the Postgres database, where we keep FM and PM messages that come in and the data. And the machine learning that you talked about, I think there was work done in release 7 about how you have a data lake and a data exposure service, and that information is available to OOF. we did some baby use cases about how you do. There was consensus that you don't do online training in this control loop. You can have offline training for machine learning based on function, and then that might guide the optimization models that you have. For example, you might switch between models, or you might change configuration parameters. So it uses TCA microservices. It is faithful to the control loop paradigm in ONAP. The messages flow on DMAP, and they go through policy. Policy is where the home where there's a lot of coordination can be done. This is ONAP policy enforcement function. And so we have not, in this use case till now, we have not really done any policy inside STNR, even though then you'll see in some themes about how there is more A1 type of work, and that it'll beg these questions about where exactly are there two types of policies and things like that. But at least presenting the work till now, STNR here was primarily an O1 interface. So it gets messages from policy aligned with an ONAP control loop message format, and it's a netconf yang based config. There are of course acknowledgements, but most of all the information, whether even if it's a config management update or an FM alarm or a PM alarm, they all flow on that O-RAN O1 interface shown there in steps 3A and 3D. So on the right, if you look at the RAN as it is used in this, it's a complete implementation and some really nice piece of work where there is a simulated RAN. It's called RANSIM. And the heart of RANSIM, in some sense, there is a faithful implementation of NetConf servers. So it ingests O1 and it can adapt, and it's faithful to the Yang model. That's where energy is focused to make sure it is satisfying that O1 properly. And now it's being enhanced for A1. In the slicing use case, we have not done that in the Swan use case. And then it also generates these O1 West messages. And part of the discussion today is, I think this is not new, this has been bubbling, which is the synergies between RANSIM and how it should be extended and work in ORAN OSE about emulators for the near real-time link. This is the direction where we are moving towards. I'm sort of starting a little slow, but I'll just jump in. I think many of you have heard many parts of this. So if I come back to this picture that I showed before, mainly I'm just flipping back and forth. One of the things that's going to happen is we do want to include A1. And again, I go back. Till now, it was just O1 going to the ORAN RANSIM. Now we include A1. That means A1 goes to the near real-time RIC, policy-based guidance of whatever we are doing. And you have XApps in the near real-time RIC. I have a picture that shows this more if you're not familiar with ORAN architecture. But config is a netconf Yang-based interface is O1, but the data streaming back is also coming from O1. So if you're faithful to this, I think this captures the fact that this control loop has to be adapted, at least on the interface side, it has to look like this. And you could have two instances of STNR because the work in ONAP till now, the O1 implementations and A1 implementations have been sort of different. And so we might see that, or we might try to overall, there's different pieces of work. I think that's a theme in the discussion today. And so we want to avoid duplication, maximum reuse and leverage, and not just within ONAP, but also ONAP and OSE. This slide, I just to give a sort of brief now of like a overview of the topics I think we should discuss. Since we talked about this last, I think three main topics have bubbled up, at least from a SON use case perspective, which is when we think about what we should implement in OA1 and O1. In the SON use case, we did both PCI optimization and we did centralized ANR optimization. And the ANR part is most suitable for O1 and A1 coordination. And I think there's a general realization about that. If you're leveraging work that we've already done, the other option is to search for a new use case completely. And I would just add that if you're doing a use case in if you're doing an application in the SON use case, it's not just the interface exercise. It has to be something in the DCI microservice that it has to be some optimization. There has to be some demonstration of what kind of SON is happening in the ONAP layer. But when it comes to the RAN, I think we have been emulating that. And so, but if you join forces with any work that is actually doing an XAP, something to do with neighbor relations and handoffs, we could have policy guidance from this ONAP layer to the new real-time rig over A1. I think there is scope for some really nice opportunities there. And so if there is a fast ANR XAP in the new real-time rig, that could be emulated for the purpose of this use case, or that could be something more fleshed out as an XAP implementation. That's the general direction of thinking. The other big topic is on the OWN VES interfaces, there is a lot of consensus about what's happening with FM and PM and that has been implemented. And then there are two topics. The one is the CM, the config management notification. That comes in and there is some topics that were actually deferred from Istanbul to Jakarta because the work couldn't be completed. So the whole notion of, I'll just add it here. Some of this work is pretty dynamic. Let me just put the whole topic of CM notification. Update. I'll just say there is leftover topics from Istanbul. This was never really supposed to be completely done in Istanbul, but that whole area, and there's a lot. It's not just the message; a lot to do with you're getting a config management, configuration notification update. The state of the RAN is changing, so if you get such a message from the RAN SIM, this needs to get into the database. And a lot of the groundwork has been done, and a lot of this was done in Istanbul. But going forward, there's more aspects to this, which is what all are you keeping in your database? How is the ONAP layer keeping track of the state of the network and interacting with an XAP in a new real-time rig, for example? And this other, so maybe just since I talked about it, I'll just move it here. And the other big topic, and I discussed this with Krishna, and I know Krishna, Eli, you've been talking about this, and I'm just queuing this up, which is the simulation emulation of the RAN. There is work done with the RAN SIM, and there is work in ORAN OSE to do with the near real-time RIC and the ODU OCUs. The ODU OCUs, I think they are more faithful to a more functionally complete. And I don't know at this point, let me add that here, but especially the near real-time rig work, what's happening there and what's happening in RANSIM, I think the time is very, very ripe to think about this in a way that has maximum alignment and synergy. So these are my main topics that I want to bring up. I have a bunch of slides. Let me just show you this. Well, I have a bunch of ORAN type slides, but let me just show you this one view of this, which is, this is, I think, a faithful representation of the ORAN architecture, that you have a near real-time rig with XAPs, you have the OCU and ODU and the RU and the OCloud, and all this red orange box is emulated if in an ONAP use case. But ORAN OSE is very much interested in emulating the OCU and ODU as faithfully as possible, and the near real-time rig also, and its platform and XAPs as faithfully as possible. And then there is work, a lot of work in ONAP and OSE, and John Kinney has been a lead on this, which is what do you do with the A1 interface? How do you demonstrate parts of the non-real-time rig, and how it interacts with the near real-time rig? And I would say broadly, the work till now has been a sort of interface-centric and a little bit maybe A1 policy-centric. It's just just this A1 arrow. Something is happening in the near real-time rec, something is happening in the A1 termination and policy guidance for that. And the rest of how that is actually used is just happening. And the slicing use case is one example where work has already moved in that direction, which is what exactly are you doing in this blue ONAP layer, which sends this policy guidance to this XAP. And so either from an ORAN perspective, the upper part is a little bit emulated, and from an ONAP perspective, this lower part is a little bit emulated. And we this is the time to keep making it more and more real, I believe, with some joint implementations and things like that. John's just joining. I think he has heard of all of this. But this is one picture. Where did I go? Did the picture go? Yeah. So this is on the picture that is useful to keep in mind that now, remember we were talking about O1 and A1, and from an ORAN perspective in the architecture, the A1 is of course inside the non-real-time RIC and the O1 is outside the non-real-time RIC. And so from an ONAP perspective, it's also useful to say, okay, where do you take an ONAP control loop? You take the RAPs, which is the intelligence as implemented, the DCAE and optimization. And what I don't necessarily think in one release, we're going to disaggregate everything, and there's no need to do it exactly like that. But it's best to keep in mind that as we think about an application, an ONAP application that exercises A1 and O1, that we are being aligned with the interfaces, then we might also want to think about the ORAN architecture. And so this, in some sense, is one view of the ORAN architecture. It is an ORAN architecture. And then if I cut back to this slide that I showed before, the work we have done till now is a big control loop. And it doesn't spell non-real-time RIC and break it out separately and things like that. I do have other slides, but I think many of you have seen it before. So I'll just come back to this and say, I think these are the four big topics. And John, thanks for joining. I left this other one out yet because I'm on this. John, I know you have thoughts on it. How we take a SON use case, which is basically a control loop, and how does it fit in the architecture of what the non-real-time RIC and RAPs are? I don't know if that's too much for this release, the next Jamaica release. But there are enough topics just to do something meaningful about from a use case perspective, what really are you doing with A1? Not just sending a guidance, but what's happening on the neural real-time emulation and what's happening in the microservices and policy. So that we need to nail that one for this to be meaningful. And then I think our best bet is to use neighbor relations, handoffs, KPIs, handoff KPIs coming in, PM streaming over O1, and then use that for guiding something that we might emulate, but just assume that's emulated in maybe ransom as some fast ANR kind of loop, fast ANR kind of XAP. And then we have to complete the work in CM notification and explore this whole synergies and how we're doing simulation, emulation of ransom and ORAN OSC and things. So this itself is a lot of enough to fill a work in a release, and it'll continue with beyond Jakarta as well. So that's where my mind is at. I think it's also faithfully the present discussions I had with Krishna, who's co-leading the SON use case. Ayla, I think this is also consistent with a lot of the discussions in the slicing use case, but I would let you comment. And so at this point, then this is what I thought. I'll just bring it up to here. If I want, we can answer more questions about the use case, SON use case and history and details. But sure. I would like the next half hour to see which parts of this we could talk about.
Yeah. That's fine. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
So we do have a couple of new people. Is this kind of clear what the overall SON use case is trying to do? Do people have any basic questions about the history? Essentially, in a nutshell, I think, you know, SON stands on three legs, right? There's self-optimization, self-healing, and self-configuration. And in one particular use case, or one use of SON of out of many, is the handling of the PCI cell identifiers. And cell identifier PCI, can have issues with cell collisions and conflicts of assigning numbers and cells. And this use case addresses how to automate that, basically. So.
And then to add, that's how it started, and then there was a lot of work was added to work with handover KPIs and neighbor relations and automated ANR, which is automatic neighbor relations. And so
that's another area.
The second application was, and see, but the reason that's important is it was important to show not just one SON application. So there were two SON applications. There's some joint optimization. There was some work which is not completed. It was started saying, if you have two SON applications and they are, for example, both want to take actions on the same element, there needs to be coordination, and that coordination can be the control loop coordination because they are both going through policy. So in this framework, all the control messages go through ONAP policy. And so that's an opportunity to say, hey, you know, you have, if you will, two ONAP applications or two RAPs saying are taking action, and there is coordination. Now, this discussion is now we are adding one more interface, but I see a huge role for ONAP based on as to if, because you have, there will be control loops. I mean, there's a control loop picture. Sorry. Where did that go? Yeah. This is an ORAN control loop architecture picture. There is a slower control loop involving the ONAP layer. So this whole purple SMO is, for our discussion purposes, that's ONAP. And so that's a slower control loop. And then there is a faster control loop, which is the near real-time RIC. And we are not emulating that directly in an ONAP use case. If we will get into that, if we are doing really a joint ONAP or an OSE kind of, maybe it'll take one release, maybe it'll take two releases. But if we get into that end-to-end kind of view, then there will be a sort of a real RAP or TCA microservice and a real XAP, and it'll get more interesting. The reason I'm saying this is, the point I wanted to make is there is a coordination function, which is very important. So if you look at the non-real-time RIC or ONAP on the top, two very big parts of it are, it's a slower time scale. Slower means at least more than a second, but it could be seconds and, you know, even a few minutes, it could be anything. But it's non-real-time RIC is a slower time scale than the near real-time RIC, and that's ONAP. It provides guidance to something that is happening in a faster near real-time RIC control loop time scale. And the point that I was belaboring is any coordination that has to be done between ONAP applications and between RAP and XAP or ONAP and near real-time like applications, to the extent that there is global knowledge, and remember all these APIs are streaming in. So this O1, there is this O1 box. Actually, this line, this O1 line on right here, and the other picture I had, I was breaking it out separately. This is the same picture, but all the data that is coming in through this O1 West interface. And so to the extent that you have global knowledge in this ONAP layer, there has to be value in that. There has to be use for coordination. So coordination of ONAP applications and CONAP between an ONAP and a RIC, near real-time RIC application, I think is also the purview of the ONAP layer. So three big things. On real-time RIC, slower timescale control, coordination, and then you're doing policy guidance of the faster loop. So I see all of those as being very relevant. Sorry. Quick question, Dan. I see you on the call. Thanks. So from an SDNC perspective, if you see SDNC being used for O1 and used for A1, in your mind, are they two instances, two types of SDNC, SDNR, or really two flavors of the same thing? I never got a chance to discuss that with you, so I'm glad I can ask you. No, I can't hear you if you're speaking, but I saw you on mute.
Sorry, I was double muted. To me, stuff like that is always like a deployment question. So they don't have to be separate.
Okay.
It really depends on, you know, things like volumes and stuff like that. Things like volume and performance.
Volume.
Like when you analyze it, if you think that there's, you know, some places where you would want, you know, one piece to be more parallelized, parallelized is the right word, but serial, yeah, whatever. Okay. You get the idea.
Okay. Yeah. So we are, thanks. So we are largely assuming, sure. And John, I think this is that things are moving in that direction, but we are largely assuming that any action, a control loop message action that needs to go out to the RAN is going to come through DMAP. And so it will be available to SDNR, and whether it looks like one SDNR or two flavors of SDNR instead of one inside one SDNR, because one is exercising O1, one is exercising A1. Is that, John, you've done a lot of work on the A1 work, and that's also being used for the slicing use case. Is it a reasonable, I didn't have the right picture, but is it a reasonable assumption that the control loop action coming into SDNR will come through DMAP? And so it will be from a data exposure or a service exposure concepts, it's something that doesn't have to be handled separately. It sort of blends into the same one control loop, or maybe two control loop topics or two control loop names all handled together. Does that make sense? I think John dropped off. Oh, he's coming back. Hi, John. You're muted. You might be just coming back. John, if you're speaking, you're muted on WebEx, on Zoom. Okay. I'm not hearing. I thought Dan was speaking. Ahila and Krishna, can we talk about this thing? I know we have talked about it before, but this whole notion of...
Sorry, test.
Yes, hi, John. I can hear you now.
Yeah. Okay, sorry.
I thought I offended you. I asked you a question and you dropped off.
No, apologies. I couldn't get unmuted. I've been trying to jump in there and... Actually, just for future note for anyone who's interested, unless you click the I agree to be recorded, you can't get off mute. Right. Okay. Sorry, that was a new life lesson for me today.
Where do you see the agree to be, the got it, that one?
Yeah, that one, yeah. Yeah. Apparently that had opened in the background and I hadn't pressed the got it.
Okay,
that was very strange. Okay. Sorry, I know I'm out of sequence now with my comments, so please, apologies.
No, please feel free. This was meant to be open discussion. Yeah, please go ahead.
Yeah, there's a couple of things. I just wanted to agree with what Dan was saying there, of course, regarding the SDNC. The whole idea, and I think we strived quite hard for it when we were setting up the A1 stuff in in CCSDK was that it should be, you know, very loosely coupled. And I think the whole idea of CCSDK is that you can kind of roll your own controller deployment as you see fit. And it's essentially, you know, CCSDK is a bag of parts that you can assemble into your own controller. So you can have, you know, one controller or hundreds of controllers, depending on how you configure out your sharding or state sharing across instances if needed. We, with the A1 stuff, at least we tried to make sure that there was no shared state across instances. If you can do a kind of a topologically type sensible sharding, then that works fine. Or like I said, roll it all into the same one, that's fine too. Which if you use the A1 adapter function, you can then, you know, intercept the A1 calls at, you know, in an SLI graph if you wish, but otherwise just pass through or don't use the A1 adapter, in which case the A1 policy management service acts kind of as a standalone one-stop shop essentially for your A1 policy functions. That was one comment. Second comment here I actually had about this slide here that you mm-hmm. have. And it kind of carries over as well from your previous kind of timescales of your control loops picture. One thing to bear in mind is that, you know, the I know that picture is a little bit confused. Maybe if you could just flick to it, I think, was it down a couple of
which
slides?
The ORAN one?
The ORAN one. Yes, so slide 13, I think, is it? This one's a little bit confusing because it looks as if, and you asked me this and I hadn't realized it, your interpretation, until I looked at the picture based on your question. Does this assume then that the non-real-time RIC can only really communicate with the near real-time RIC? And absolutely not. the non-real-time RIC at SMO can perform control loops, like I say, at 1 second level, but it can be with any node. You can perform kind of O1 based control loops down to the ODU or the ORU if it's an O1 ORU, or using the M-plane if it's an M-plane based ORU. So any loop essentially that you want to do that's kind of greater than a second or a couple of seconds, or depending on the analytics requirements, it can be as long as you like, could be days, weeks, months, whatever. Anything at all that it's a timeliness, essentially, is the question. The near real-time RIC then, similarly, anything that you want faster than that, you can access anything that wants to access, particularly over using the E2 interface. Near real-time RIC is probably the best place for that, especially if you need to use the E2 interface, or if you want to do kind of coordinated control across a bunch of nodes where the E2 interface might be useful for that. But again, the near real-time RIC can, of course, do longer control loops as well if it wishes, but... I think the near real-time RIC team would be able to give you more information about the long-running loop support in near real-time RICs. One other question then. Okay, so back to that picture you had, sorry, that slide you had about the plans, the Jakarta plans.
Yeah,
the topics here.
Yeah.
Which then brings me on to the question of why do you need to do fast ANR? Maybe that's kind of more of a general question and kind of a question about SON in general. ANR, I don't know. I've never heard a requirement for needing to do fast ANR, but I suppose if you want to do fast ANR, you would do it in the near real-time RIC, I suppose, yes.
Let me answer it. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Please. Yeah, please. No, please. I'm throwing a lot of questions
so
here.
It'll help you. At least it'll help you. I can explain the way I'm thinking about it. One is, if you really search for the best kind of SON use case where there is coordination between centralized and non-real-time SON and more edge-based near real-time SON, we might find other topics. But I'm also being pragmatic that I want to build on what we have.
Yes.
And so what we have currently is PCI optimization, and we have centralized neighbor relation table trimming based on handoff KPIs. And so when we had the discussions with Krishna, Ayla, and actually, I have been exchanging messages with Swami, even though he can't come to the call, he's actually giving a lot of guidance. And we have talked for many releases. So one of the things when Swami asks is, we could do PCI in the near real time rig. I said, who's going to do it? All of our implementation is on the in microservices in DCA in ONAP now. And so among the two that we have, there is this, it actually blends very well. The notion that you have handover KPIs coming over PM, and we have that flow and it's coming into DCA and it can be analyzed. And that is being used by for basically judging neighbors, which are good neighbors, bad neighbors. And so we can do, you can use that for maybe some handoff optimization. But that's sort of what I'm calling fast ANR. What I meant is there is also a theme where ANR in 3GPP, the notion of ANR is actually, if you will, the distributed SON ANR is could be, if the near real-time rig didn't exist, it would be done in the DUs and CUs.
Yeah,
there's a whole data flow of measurements from the UE and neighbor tables and being updated and things like that. But you can have a discussions around whether the near real time rig, if it has E2s to multiple CUs, that it can add some value with some knowledge, regional knowledge across CUs. And so if you get into some fast ANR that you're making changes to neighbor tables or handoff settings in a fast control loop, in a fast timeline, then what is the role of the non-real-time RIC and ONAP? And what would be that the answer has to be something that there is something that needs to be done fast. That's why it's in the near real-time RIC, or it needs the data and the access to the E2 service model and the E2 paradigm. That's why it's in the near real-time RIC. I believe there'll be a lot of pressure the near real-time rig being reserved for the fast things that it needs to do.
Yeah.
And the things which are slower can be in this ONAP layer. And remember, the ONAP layer is where all the data is coming. It's a rich data, a ton of data.
And that's the level that has wider network context and has access exactly, to the core network. And stuff.
So if you will, I just picked fast ANR as it's my core, short name of saying anything that can use handover KPI information that we already have, so we can sort of extend that into it. It doesn't have to be ANR; it could be handover optimization or something like that.
Okay, yeah. So it's just
maybe I should change that. Yeah.
It's just as a requirements driver. Yeah. Okay, understood. But one thing I know this is probably a bit of an aside, but one thing I've always been confused about with SON, just the acronym for SON, is that it seems to restrict itself to a small set of use cases that everybody seems to agree on. I think they're only representative use cases. Like any kind of assurance or optimization loop is, if you squint a little bit, SON. It's just it hasn't been one of the agreed standardized SON functions.
I agree with you, John. In fact, I have heard another term that is being thrown around, and I've used it myself, called automation. And it precisely comes about because when I've heard people say, oh, you're doing that. Yes, it's a control loop. Yes, it's control. Yes, it's use all the intelligence, but you're doing automation, you're not doing SON. Because the people often who say that will say, look, there is 3GPP, there's SON, there's a list of use cases that we know. And so, there is the canonical SON, which is I'm doing load balancing, I'm doing traffic steering, I'm doing handover optimization, I'm doing coverage optimization. But I agree with you, especially from an ONAP perspective, or even an ONAP OWAN optimization, it's really any control loop that you're performing some kind of intelligent optimization.
Or any kind of assurance or any kind of a loop-based optimization. And that's why we've been kind of trying to drive
the work.
I will
add just really quickly that there's three major legs that is agreed upon as well. One is self-configuration, so things where you automatically detect I need to configure something. Self-optimization, which is a lot of what you're talking about here, and self-healing, where I find a problem in the system and I automatically fix it. So of course, those are very large, broad categories, and lots of things can fit in there. But those are the three major, I think, areas of SON. And I agree with you also. I mean, SON is an ever-growing body of ideas and things, and potentially any control loop could be seen, depending on what it's doing, as a SON type thing.
Yes. I think we're agreeing with one another. So, and yes, they're absolutely right, because the umbrella for SAN is kind of a bit broader than just the optimization insurance. You're absolutely right. The one thing I want to say is we focused a little bit on, you know, rather than getting stuck into individual use cases, like the as is happening currently in the SAN use case, and rightly so as requirements drivers, we've been focusing a lot as well on the generic control loop work that's happening in what was previously CLAMP and the control loop subcommittee within ONAP, as you know, to provide a kind of a generic infrastructure support for kind of roll your own loop, or whatever that might be it configuration, healing, assurance, optimization, whichever. And I think that is getting to a stage now where it's fairly mature now. I think the CLAMP originally was kind of focused on a small number of fairly well-defined and in some cases hard-coded in use cases. And we've done a lot of work over the last couple of years, well, last year or so especially, on making the control loop work much more generic. And I think it's probably got to the stage now where it's mature enough to, you know, to really consider the overlap with the likes of the SAN use cases that's been worked on here. And I think it would be maybe a good idea, maybe if we can all get together and see if we could control loopify the SAN and maybe the PCI use cases, just as, again, as requirements drivers for both sides, maybe might be useful. Please.
John, I agree, and I, in fact, I heard what you said in the OSE call, and I discussed that with Krishna, and he also said it makes sense. And so we were actually wanting to ask you where you want to bring that discussion. Shall we? I mean, do you have something in mind on the use case calls and the ONAP or harmonization or this call? We can do it multiple ways, but.
Yeah, I think initially, at least, I think the first point-to-point call between the SAN people and the control loop people might be useful. Okay. That's currently being headed up under the policy project, and Liam right. Fallon is the new PTL since Jim Han, and yeah. Before that, Pam Dragash.
Yeah.
But so we'd try maybe just initially at least set up a kind of a hello everybody kind of a call between maybe between Liam and his team and you guys.
Yeah,
that would be good, I think. Because everyone's really busy, but we'll try our best to see what we can do. I just had another comment as well about something else you popped up while I was trying to get off mute. But can I go back to that now, or will we keep going where we are now?
Yeah.
Okay. The sequence diagrams you have there with all of the numbers. You know that one. Which one is the this one? This one.
Actually, Ben has said you need to explain what the numbers are.
Yeah. So on this one, the there has been, at least up to now, and I never really understood really why there was such a focus on DMAP as the mechanism for sharing. DMAP as a message bus, that's fine, but using a message bus to pass actions, like for instance the triggering an action over DMAP, always seemed strange to me, but I was, you know, the people had their reasons. I suppose
in fact that's why I asked about, but the one short answer is this whole design DNA came from the control loop architecture back from Casablanca release.
Yeah.
That the messages to STNC were going over DMAP.
Yeah, I never really understood that, but other than it's something that needs to be worked around rather than what I always wonder, was that the right way to. But anyways, even if it is or it isn't, that's fine. The question you asked then was, you know, any message that goes to STNC, what you'd consider it as an action. There was also, I think it's also important, I think, to pull in the work that's happening on CPS, maybe the CPS, and then as you know, as something in front of SDNC might be useful to bring into the conversation as well. Because once for instance, the work that's happening in CPS around the the NCMP CM proxy essentially. Right. That might, yeah, that might be. It's so, I think it's so, more or less the same interface.
Actually, to John's point, if I could interject in a second.
Yeah.
I mean, it might be clear on that other diagram, or these diagrams are good too. But it might be clear on that other thing if, like, I see what John is saying. Maybe instead of having everything flow through that top bar, you just have boxes mm-hmm. talk to each other. And on the lines, you know, you maybe write DMAP or something. That might be, make things a little clearer as to what's exactly kind of happening. Because, yeah.
Oh, so is it?
If you go back to the other, I mean,
yeah,
this,
yeah,
is,
I can go back.
This is more or less.
I showed this only because it was explicitly showing how CPS is involved, but I can go back. But the whole approach here, at least, and this is reflecting the implementation, that DMAP is being used as a message bus, and there are different topics. But the value of that is when policy is finally coordinated and it's forwarding an action to SPNR, SDNC, it goes on DMAP on a particular DMAP topic. And so because it's going through DMAP, it's shown as a DMAP sort of bus on top, but you can think of the bus actually having multiple lines to channel the conversation. And so there are multiple DMAP topics, and in the control loop framework, there are control loop names in the ONAP, the way the legacy of the way policy is in ONAP. There are control loops and there are control loop names. And so actions can be taken based on control loop names, or at least sort of, you know, dimensions can be separated, or on DMAP topics. But if it is going on DMAP, we showed this as that. If it is not going on DMAP, then if it's a direct one-to-one API, then, for example, on the left, SON handler microservice engaging the OF, that is not going through DMAP. It's an API, or if CPS is being updated by SDNR.
So that you're missing my point. I think my point was, you see how you have line 10 or line 9 and line 10. Let's just focus on bubble 9, line 9, right? Step 9.
Okay.
Where you have SON handler microservice talking directly to policy. Maybe it might clear up the diagram if you just have a straight line going from SON handler microservice to policy without necessarily showing the DMAP bar up there, but rather you have like a little word. You see how you have like ORAN 01 interface over 11B? Maybe you just have DMAP on some lines because there's a few, like maybe five or six distinct. I don't know. Maybe it just helps clear up the diagram a little bit. I'm not sure if.
I did get that, Ben. I'm okay with that because we have done diagrams like that as well. One of the values of this is a little bit implementation centric because it shows, okay, I need a DMAP client, yes, no. I'm looking. So when something goes to DMAP, when the arrow goes through DMAP, it can be done the way you were saying also, which is it just says, maybe suppose there's no, and in fact, it'll be easier to draw the diagram that I've seen the CPS diagrams like that, which is there are lines and maybe the lines are colored saying these are the lines that go through DMAP.
Yeah.
Once you say that, but once you do that, the value of that is to say, because it's going through DMAP, there is an implication on both sides that you're doing a public subscribe. That's a DMAP topic.
Yeah.
And also importantly, because it's going through DMAP, it's available to any other component without, if it's a one-to-one API, that's in my mind, that's a big difference. You know what? My oldest pictures used to be like that. And then at some point, someone told me, it's all going through DMAP. And so you're right, but we'll work on it. I think there are always better ways to get certain points across. And we show that. Yeah. Understood. But I think John was making a slightly different point. I think he might even be asking, why are you going through DMAP? So just why are you showing it this way?
Well, one of his points seemed to be like, you know, are you working with CPS? And there is that box CPS there with TBDMT. So it is there.
Oh, yeah. It's a big part of it. In fact, that's why I want to, since you asked, I want to at least, John, I want you to be aware of this kinds of pictures which we have been using with the CPS team to. So initially in Release Istanbul, we agreed there's no NCMP. And so if you're doing a database lookup, the microservice looks up CPS on the left, this big box. and it has to go through this query mapping and API mapping this DBDMT layer. That's all we all agreed. And we also agreed there's a primary and a secondary database, and they're both based on a primary and a secondary Yang model. But the primary Yang model is the same Yang model as the Oren Yang model. Or models, if you have like both, you know, the O11 and the front hall one. But the secondary is whatever you need to augment to make sense for the use case. So this was very much part of the thinking. The reason I'm showing this is, in this case, the microservice reaches out to SDNC still through DMAP. And so this is the configuration action flow. And the other one, whoops, the other one was, what happened here? So this was a configuration action flow. And once NCMP comes in, those parts look the same, except NCMP handles the primary Yang model and the primary database. And this green secondary one is done whatever the use case needs. And I think there is some commitment and some thoughts about how to keep that consistent. And once NCMP comes in, there is this notion also that NCMP is becoming aware, and then this updates is shown here in step 11A. CPS could be taking some actions as well. And I think that's what you're alluding to, this CPS coming in front of SDNC.
Yeah. Oh, no, but I understand this course is there's a couple of releases time
before all this
gets stable enough.
But the overall theme is, the overall takeaway is the intent to be aligned to CPS, I think, is there. And this was the other flow. When you're updating with NCMP, that you have to parse it. Currently, we are parsing it, and even the Samsung use case said they're parsing this REST message in using CCSDK SDNR. It could reside anywhere, but the discussions with the CPS team was that if you're working with Yang models and then there is some mapping and parsing going on and SDNC is the place where you have to be familiar with the Yang model, and you're doing it using it for NetConf, at least from an O1 perspective. And so you could stick this somewhere else, but you could leverage the fact that SDNC is very aware of the Yang model, and it has to be.
Yeah,
and what we were trying to convey in these slides is there might actually be two types of modeling. There is the red, which is pure Oren Yang, and the green part, which has all the value added stuff which you need to make sense of the use case. And so if you're in this red layer, you could just send a message to SDNC directly saying send this out. But the more you need to make sense, there is some mapping, there's some model mapping, API mapping, message mapping of some kind. You're invoking other aspects of the use case, which someone has to take care of. That was why these are this green and red.
Yeah, maintaining the synchronization between, like you said, the green and the red there is going to be always tricky, and where that happens is always going to be tricky too. Yeah, of course.
And then,
especially if you want to maintain loose coupling.
And currently that's all been is crystallized, encapsulated into what is being called TBDMT, right? Template-based data model transformer. Yeah. It still belongs inside the CPS universe, but the use cases which need to use it are responsible for doing parts of what they need. I think that's the current status of the discussion.
Yeah, very good. Can I just mention one other quick thing? I know we're going through time here. We need to be careful as well. And again, we're standing on sand here because we don't really know. We need to be cognizant of the R1 interface here as well, in terms of any interactions between the app and the platform need to go over R1, or at least the bits of it that you want to be standardized have to go over R1 in order for it to be standardized, you know, the standardized bits of R1 at least. This gets really, really very tricky when we have, and you'd see from your sequence pictures there, your flow pictures, is that it's very difficult to differentiate between what's the app and what's the platform when you have, for instance, logic embedded in CPS, in the controller, in the policy framework, and bits of logic in workflows, probably in SO as well. And you know, these things are all scattered around, and some microservices as well that are outside of the platform functions. Trying to keep track of which of those interactions are R1 and which of them aren't R1 is very, very tricky. And I think we need to be careful to not let ourselves fall into a trap of things getting too tightly coupled to one another, because then it's very hard to break out that coupling to make it go over R1 afterwards when R1 becomes defined. So it's just a little bit of a warning. We're currently looking at some of the concepts of how we can take ONAP as is, and to the phrase I use is to R1-ify those interactions. That's, we're going to be looking at that in OSC initially, and then we can try bring back some of the learnings, hopefully, of what we figure out after many failures and prototypes back into ONAP later. Yeah. But I just wanted to give you a heads up to the ONAP guys on that.
Thanks, John. You mentioned it before, and I was, that's why I was very happy to see you put down some thoughts about that, how R1 and control loops and use cases, how they all map, and largely, I mean, in a nutshell, how do we, if we were to build, we have built something of value, you know, in the sound and slicing use cases, but if you were to take that and see how does it fit into and this ONAP architecture, that, you know, then it immediately puts the highlight on what you're exactly saying, which is, which of this is R1 and which of this is R1, and how do you get to the A1 and O1 terminations? And I think initially we will take it slow. We'll, in the sense that if I were to contrast this picture with, I still have the pictures that are, that fully explain what I'm, where I view it. But if I were to contrast that picture with this picture, we have one by control loop and interfaces. Yes, we have O1 West coming in, A1 and O1 going in. And then we can keep improving whatever is in this ONAP layer. But to your point, if we do it in if there could, it could be done maybe in, let's say, two ways. But one way would map into R1, but one way would not. And I think it's for the good of the community, both ONAP and ONAP, I think we have to be aware of this.
I think it's perfectly reasonable for ONAP to have control loops that are not RAPs. It's not that all RAPs, all control loops have to be RAPified, or that everything has to go over this R1 interface. It's just that if you want to say that, if you want to get that rubber stamp that is, I'm R1 compliant, then we need to at least put the pieces in place, and not paper over too many of the.
Correct. I'm going one more step beyond that. It's maybe that's what you meant by the way. I like your metaphors, the rubber stamp and the standing on sand. And is I don't want all of this ONAP work to become irrelevant, because what I'm seeing, especially with my where I look into the industry, I said yes, things were done in a particular way because the R1 was not really fleshed out. And then once it's fleshed out, we'll say, hey, wait a minute, it's done in a particular way. And if we don't address the issue that you're raising, it's not good for anyone who's working on this use cases, because the industry trends are such that people will say, okay, this is what I've implemented, and this is what vendors and operators are going to use, and things are moving so fast that if we don't think of this now, there might be small changes we can make to make sure things are as reusable as possible, and it's good for everybody. Of course, this is all the pre-standard work, which is all open source, but I can see the open source work can become irrelevant if it doesn't address these issues which are coming down the pipe.
Yes, absolutely.
Someone's going to ask exactly what you're asking. Where is R1? And if that cannot be answered in some reasonable way, they'll say, oh, very good work, but I don't have the time to take all this apart, so I'll go do something else. Yep. Then the whole thing would be a waste. Okay? That, from an overall open source and ecosystem perspective, I think that's not good.
Absolutely.
A little bit of a soapbox there, yeah.
No, completely agree. Yeah. We're violently agreeing with one another.
And I see people so dedicated working in one view, making some assumptions. And then after some time, people say, wait a minute, you know, I didn't talk to the guy who was using this. And I see that happening now, which is in this space. With, like you said, yeah, if you have a control loop which is doing something else, it is not going to Aura, and then, yeah, do it a different way. But if it is meant to be an application, if it takes slicing, if it takes on, then of course ORAM community and the whole industry is going to say, yep, you know, I need, to the extent that you're talking about ONAP and ORAM, I need to see the non-real-time like and the near real-time version of this. Otherwise, I don't know how to make sense of it. Okay, I think that's a very good discussion. Thank you. I don't know how much time we are on, but let me ask one thing quickly. I don't know who all are still there. Ayla and Krishna, I know we have talked separately, but do you have this on this particular topic? Let me go here. And John's also here. Where did that go? Sorry. I do want to ask you about this. Where do you see, where did it go? This, I know it is affecting our use cases in a big way, which is, when we send something over A1 to Ransom, and maybe it takes one release, maybe it takes more releases, do you think we can keep just extending Ransom, or do you have any thoughts about what's, I don't know how much familiar you are about what's happening with ORAN OSC with the near real-time rig? And I think I see this tension, or not tension, there's a different viewpoints. Ransom will try to emulate and abstract things so that it can be faithful on the interface to ONAP. And anything from ORAN OSC will try to be more faithful to the new real-time rig. So it's not just a abstraction. It has to look like, where is the platform? Where is the XApp? How do I do that? And do you have any thoughts about how we can bring this together, and if there is a way we want to reach out to people and reusing work. We don't want to throw away all the valuable work that was done.
We had a few mail exchanges between myself and Jankini. It is about extending the RAN simulator just to support this A1 interface. What we are planning to do is we had done kind of POC work in the previous release itself, the A1 policy type and policy instance, both are created in the directed graph itself. So we have got a comment from John, so that is not appropriate way, because when there the PMS, right, A1 PMS, microservice and CCSDK. So when it do a synchronization process, whatever the policy instances that has been created from the directed graph, it will be fleshed out. So meaning whatever we have created, the previously created instances will be deleted. So as part of the upcoming release, what are we thinking is, so the A1 policy type will be created by the RAN simulator. So for that, definitely we need an extension to the existing RAN simulator. So we will be exposing kind of REST API in the simulator just to support the A1 policy type creation. Maybe we will just check the interface details from ORAN OSC. So we'll be aligning to the interfaces for the policy type creation. And when you think about the policy instance creation and the usage of the instance, so the policy instance creation part, that I'm clear. With the help of A1 PMS, so we will be creating the policy instance in the director graph in SDNR. But how are we going to make use of it? So that in that area, I still have some open items, because so the instance will be created. So all these A1, right? So we are making use in the case of closed loop. So far it was being sent as a configuration through O1 interface. So now it is going to be replaced by A1 interface. So I'll create the A1 instance in the SDN, CCSDK, SDNR. So, but how it will be the interface, how are we going to achieve it with the ransom later. So that area still I have some gap. Mm-hmm. So maybe I need to build like maybe the configuration, like the instance can be kept as a threshold. Like maybe if any resource usage in the network function crosses over this threshold, can be a closed loop can be triggered. Like the it is kind of a closed loop that is going to be managed by the near arteric. So in that area we are figuring out like maybe how are we going to implement in JRelease. Mm-hmm. So that that we are planning it maybe if maybe when we will clearly formulate it, maybe we'll come back with the questions to John Kinney. Sure. You Krishna, if you have any points you can add.
So but one quick clarification, so currently in your thinking you're not looking at the near real time rig emulation from Oran OSC because it's a different kind of thing.
Only the interface will align with that, but the same thing we are going to imitate in the RAN simulator itself. Shankar.
Sorry, Krishna,
sorry, just one quick comment on the OSC simulator. Please bear in mind that the A1 simulator is really only a test stub. It's not intended to be a near real-time rig simulator. It's really just a test stub for the near real-time RIC end of the A1 interface. If you wanted to do more complicated logic or whatever inside the simulator, then either you'd have to write something of your own or have a look at the actual near real-time RIC implementation in the OSC from mostly from Nokia and AT&T would be a good place to look as well.
Thanks for clarifying that. That's consistent with my thinking. The A1 part is a stub, and then there is a whole near real-time RIC platform if somebody wants to do a lot. I think the industry should get there. It might take, I don't know how many releases, but I see that happening. But we can't get there in one release. So that's why I asked, and what Ayla said makes sense. We are faithful. I mean, we have always been doing this. You make incremental steps, just make sure, but it is aligned. It's going towards a target, which makes sense. Krishna, were you going to say something? Ayla asked also to.
No, Shankar. No.
Thanks. Yeah. I mean, I think in some sense, maybe I discuss a lot of this with Krishna, and I think I'm trying to make sure that we are presenting things we already discussed and it is aligned. That sort of does make sense. So we'll sort of figure out which parts, at least incrementally, we move forward. And John, I'll keep that in mind with the. We could do some kind of joint call, ask Liam from policy and control loop and slicing use case on use case, everyone to sort of have one discussion about where things are going.
Yeah, I think it would be a fairly comprehensive requirements driver on both sides. if we could get the sound use case working as a control loop, I think it would throw up lots of work to keep us all in gainful employment for another while.
It is a control loop. It started out in the very beginning. At that time, it was with Pam and then with Jim Hahn. But when I was discussing this with Pam a while back, Pam said, it's a control loop. We have this whole control loop framework. We have a control loop message format, and this is how we do. And so that's why it made sense for it to be a control loop. But I guess what I'm saying is there was a particular way of how control loops were done in ONAP. And so this just followed that path and leveraged things with, there were message formats, there were DMAP implementations, there were things available that was used. And the other advantage of control loops is, if you do that, then the policy team can say, okay, we can help with coordinating control loops. If you do something completely different, they'll say, we don't know, you're on your own. Then coordination will become a sort of a microservice function. maybe from an RAP perspective, it sort of doesn't matter. Maybe it's all the same thing. But from an ONAP perspective, there is this difference between policy rules and framework and what the DCN microservices are doing. So obviously, this was a very ONAP-centric view over several releases. And to a large extent, slicing use cases also followed this. It has many more parts which reach out into SO and the way things are done and the 3GPP reference model for like, you know, the slicing functions and things like that, so like slice management functions. But at its heart, when it comes to a control loop with actions, I think it's similar in nature that it leverages the ONAP control loop framework.
Yeah.
So I think it sort of makes sense at least to frame that discussion the way you did, which is to say, okay, to the extent that these are control loops now, okay, where is this going in the future so that we can be aligned with it? We can't do everything in one release, but we might make, while we are making small changes, if we have a decision point, we can at least sometimes help, okay, this helps me move towards that and this other one doesn't help me move towards that. And then my way of asking those questions are like, remember I asked you, messages coming over DMAP, how many instances of SDNR and how is that supposed to work? I think these are some very high level discussions moving in that direction. Okay, I think we are way over time. Ben, thank you.
Yes, thank you everybody for joining and I hope you found this useful. And if you send me the slides, I'll post them and I'll have the recording up. Thank you everybody for joining.
Yes.
And have a great day. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you. Thanks, bye.
Thanks, Ben. Thank you all.
Yeah. Thank you.
Bye-bye.